We'll have this discussion.
Discussion? What discussion?
This is a discussion.
Combustion. Coming to you from Denver, Colorado. This is Discussion Combustion Podcast with your hosts, Kevin Batstone and Arthur Raw.
It's been over. Okay, so I want to like try to bring it in. Like, okay, old time friend, you know, this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been crazy how long we haven't communicated.
Dude, it's
been like over 20 years or something.
Yeah, it's got to be 20 years. 1999, 2000, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, middle school time. So.
Yeah, middle school. So it's really good to have an old friend. I consider you an old friend.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's always been good between us. Like, there's never been any bad blood.
Yeah, yeah, we have fun, man.
So you're one of the longest term, like long lost connections that I think we've ever had on the show. Have we had any connections over like over longer than that?
I don't think quite that long. I mean, we've definitely reconnected some folks through the, which is great. I mean, obviously you got, you know, re-in touch with Art through that, and that's pretty cool. And I got to hear a little bit of your story before we went on mic, of course, about you guys playing video games and getting down in the old
basement,
days.
So man.
that's cool stuff. The reminiscing is, we're sure we're going to unpack more of that, but that's pretty cool, man. Thanks for coming down and hanging out with us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we got Jordan Chavez, creator of Zodiac Wars, across the table right now, man. It's good to have you.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks, guys. Glad to be here. So
yeah, let's have fun. Cheers to that, brother.
Cheers, man.
Art, I know you're still not drinking.
Well,
so,
here, I could throw the...
Yeah, throw your blueberry pomegranate.
Yeah, get whatever
this
is here. Liquid is liquid. That's
Total
how I
friends,
feel about
man.
It. Yeah,
cheers,
man. Cheers.
Cheers. So, yeah, I heard a little bit. So you guys kind of reconnected at the Fan Expo here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the first time we saw each other. So first, I mean, I think it was through Facebook. We kind of, you know, saw each other on there and added. And then you saw I was going to Fan Expo and showed up and... Yeah, man, it was cool. So,
and this was your second year doing it? Like, is that your first year?
No, that's my first year at Fan Expo. Okay. It's my first year of doing conventions. So I've done conventions throughout. Last year, Colorado Springs Comic Con, which was in August, was my first convention.
Okay.
So coming up again, I'll be doing that one, and that will mark my 1 year. So, but
nice.
I've had like, I don't know, four or five other conventions throughout there, some smaller ones, but Fan Expo is definitely the big one. So
how do you get onto the ticket? Like, what goes into getting your business and whatever involved in that?
So Fan Expo, it's kind of difficult because it's just a, you have to do an application, and when you apply, they have a certain amount of spots. But what happens is pretty much everyone who applies almost goes to a wait list, because when you get into Fan Expo, you can as soon as Fan Expo is done, anyone who's there can automatically rebuy their booth for the next year. So there's very limited spots that are available. And so when you apply, you kind of get put onto a wait list almost automatically. And then from there, it's just, you just have to hope that somebody cancels. And if somebody cancels, they go into a wait list of who knows how many people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's thousands of people that apply from all over the country for this one. And so you just have to get lucky, and if they call you, then you get in.
Did you reapply for next year, though?
Yeah, I'm already signed up.
For
so
sure.
Once,
nice.
And they
sort
of say, like, so they kind of say, like, once you're in the club, because you're back every year. You can buy your spot immediately. You're kind of secure, which is cool. And I think they do leave, like, a certain amount of spots open for, like they have all the people that come in, but I think they leave a certain amount open for, like, new people or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's hard. It's hard to get in. So when you get in, it's awesome. And I actually was rejected for 2 years. So this one was my first time.
It took three attempts.
Yep.
Nice.
So I just kept applying and
so how long have you been doing Zodiac Wars? Like, I'm curious about it. Like, when did it happen? What inspired you to dive into that realm of, like, is it sci-fi?
Yeah.
Is it like,
yeah,
what is
it's fantasy.
It?
Kind of fantasy.
Okay.
It kind of started in 2019-ish. So I have a background in graphic design. I went to Community College of Denver, and I was doing graphic design. And I kind of was not enjoying it very much. A lot of the projects I was doing were really boring. It was like, you know, marketing stuff. I enjoyed it, but I didn't have, like, the passion. Like, there wasn't some passion involved. And I kind of wanted to turn my focus towards something that I was more, you know, had some more heart in, or something that I was more interested in. So I was always interested in comics, anime, you know, I was always a big nerd and stuff. So I just decided that I was going to try something new. And I didn't have any experience in, like, drawing comic books or anything, but I'd read a lot of comic books and stuff. So I said, well, I'll just give this a try. And so I jumped in and started self-teaching myself how to draw, because and the graphic design background did help a lot of that stuff did transition over into creating comic books. But as far as, like, drawing characters and stuff, I kind of had to go back to, like, fundamentals and do tutorials and stuff. And immediately as I started doing it, like I just noticed that I was having so much more fun. Like, this was what I wanted to do. This was way more fun. And then I went to a Comic-Con out in Portland. That's where I was living at the time. And I was walking around and I saw all these tables of artists and stuff. And there was a lot of independent creators. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to be one of these guys. Mm-hmm. I want to create my own universe, create my own characters. Yeah,
it's like world. It's bigger than world building. Yeah. You did like a universe build.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. That's what it is. It's all, you know, building this own world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So I decided to start, you know, jump into comic books, come up with an idea, and then it's been awesome since. So
nice.
It's kind of like the podcast industry a little bit. Like, it seems like it could be a pretty saturated industry, right? A lot of folks want to submit their art. A lot of people want to get into these expos. Everybody has a creative idea. Yeah. So I mean, to get into the Denver Fan Expo in year three is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's definitely competitive, you know. And it's like, and it's just, I think we live in that time where like everything is the creative fields. There's so much area for like independent creation that a lot of people are doing it, so it is competitive, but it's also like it's a great opportunity. Like, I don't think, you know, I can go out and create a comic book and be a one-man team, or you can have a two-man team, and there's mm-hmm. all these independent creators that are having success, and you know, you didn't have that before, because with social media you can find your exact target mm-hmm. audience. You know, you can find it's a little bit easier, and you don't have to be under these big names and stuff, so it's interesting. It's a cool time, but it is competitive for sure. You know.
Oh, I bet. So it's a good idea, though, like, because everyone gets into the Zodiac stuff.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, oh, what's the Zodiac say for my science today? So So you ended up choosing that route.
Yeah. So the idea for the Zodiac Wars, it came out. So I was working at a call center in Portland, mm-hmm. and I had a cubicle. And at the time, I was kind of trying to retrain myself on drawing. I used to draw when I was young in high school and stuff. I would do character creations. That's what I love to do. So I just draw characters and never paid attention in school. I was always just drawing mm-hmm. and stuff. And so I kind of went back to the roots of that, and I started creating characters. Well, when I was in this cubicle, I would always like be drawing a new character, and people around the office would be like, you know, oh, what are you drawing? And I would post them up on my cubicle. So my mm-hmm. cubicle is just covered in all these like character drawings and stuff. And
and like, look at the work I'm doing. Yeah. I'm so productive at work today.
I know. They're like, oh, this guy's not doing anything. But, you know, it was cool. So everyone loved it. You know, it was cool. Yeah. And so people would be talking around the office. And then one day I came in, and everyone was on the topic of Zodiac signs. Mm-hmm. And people were talking about the signs and the traits. And it's fun. I mean, you know, everyone always like talks about them and looks at their signs. And some people take it more serious than others. And,
yeah.
You know, but it's always a fun thing. And so everyone around the office is talking about it. And the traits, their signs, you know, who's compatible with what. I'm this sign, I'm that and stuff. And I kind of clicked it. I was like, you know what? It'd be fun to like draw my own character for like the Zodiac signs and like see what it looks like. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to draw one. So I picked a sign and I started drawing it. And then immediately, like right away, after I finished it, I printed it out. It was like in full color. I mm-hmm. put it there on the cubicle, and everyone was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, yeah, it's my character for the sign Cancer, the Zodiac sign. And uh-huh. immediately everyone was just like, what? Like, you do a sign? Yeah, look at this. And people are passing around the office and stuff. And then everyone immediately is like, oh, like, you should draw Sagittarius.
They want to
see their signs, you know. So people are like, you know, draw Gemini, like, you know, draw Taurus or whatever. And mm-hmm. so I just kept drawing them. And so and every time I would draw one, it was just like always excitement around the office, and people would be like, you know, what's your next one? Or I'd be bringing in concepts of, you know, like, you know, which concept do you like the best out of these two? And,
okay.
And people were really digging it. And I just saw that, like, you know, how much fun people were having with it. And so that's kind of where the idea clicked. And I said, at the time I was trying to come up with an idea for like, you know, a comic book or story. And I was like, you know, this is perfect. Why don't I make something that's about the Zodiac signs? And they're all gods, and they're all at war with each other, and mm-hmm. that's what my story is going to be about. I wanted it to be action, and I've always been into fantasy, so it was perfect. So that's where the idea kind of came from, and made all 12 characters, and then started drawing the comic. So,
how many? It's been at least 3 years.
Yeah, it's been 3 years from the process of like the first year was kind of just designing the characters. Mm-hmm. That took a while, and then immediately after that was like COVID. So COVID kind of slowed things down. I was moving it back, and then I started drawing, and the pages I started drawing were I initially started with a partner on the Zodiac Wars. I had a writer who is a friend, and unfortunately we got about 3/4 of the way done with the first issue, and we kind of had a fallout.
Yeah.
And so I had like 18 pages that I had drawn that took me a lot of time, and I had to go back and redo the comic, but I didn't want to redraw the pages, so I had to rewrite my own story according to the pages that I had already drawn. And
was
so,
it to a, like a script that was already written?
No, it was just the pages that had done. We were kind of going like page by page. But unfortunately, you know, I lost the writer for it, which ended up being a good thing because I decided like I wanted to take the writing into my own hands, which I ended up actually really enjoying.
Yeah.
But I did have to go back and redo the storyline and kind of come up with a whole new storyline. And I had to make that storyline match these pages that I'd already drawn, but I wanted it to be completely different from what the original writer had wrote, had written. And so that took a little bit of time. And then, and then it kind of got going. And then, so the first kind of 2 years were pretty slow. And then I finished the first issue in, was at the end of 2020. I finished the first issue.
Okay.
But that's all I had was the comic book, and then to get in conventions, and that's what I wanted to start doing was get into conventions. But I had to build up a gallery, so I started doing a lot of artwork that was for the Zodiac Wars. That way, I could have like a big table and display and stuff. And so,
no, it looked good. It looked good. Yeah, you had it filled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And so I got a big table and got that. Took some time, and so I was spending a lot of time just doing kind of artwork for it, and so I could build up a gallery. And. And that took kind of like the next year, and then now since then I've been working on issue number two, and issue number two is almost done. So
excellent,
nice.
Yeah,
that's pretty exciting. So would you say that the Fan Expo brought in some new eyes and
oh yeah, definitely
to your
yeah,
stuff?
Yep, that's huge. Good. I mean, Fan Expo was the biggest show I did. I did like five other conventions throughout the year, and they were smaller. Some of them were decent size, but Fan Expo was definitely huge exposure and stuff. And so, you know, tons of new followers and. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, they all stick around and, you know, told them issue number two's out. And I mean, a bunch of people bought the comics. So, yeah, definitely good exposure, man. That was big.
Yeah, I mean, that event was so busy.
Yeah.
Midday Saturday. And I was there for like 8 hours. Like, I was there all day. And I couldn't even see anything. Like, there were so many people
so
that you're focused on just making your way to wherever destination you pick out.
Yeah, and you kind of go with the flow of the traffic because there's like traffic jams of people and everyone's curving around the corner and you just kind of migrate with them. And it's intense, man. There's a lot of people and they cram us in there. Like,
the
tables are. I don't know if you saw my table. But
when how you got back there, you had to like sneak around.
Like they don't even have a gap in between the tables, so you got to go behind and travel through, and it's
packing assholes' elbows.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Man,
which was a surprise when I went there. I wasn't expecting that. So
my favorite part was when we toughed it out, stuck around, and then we went back, and it was like the last 30 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's a good time.
It was because then I could actually look at everything. And that was the only time that I actually had to check stuff out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
it was that slamming.
Was that at the end of the event or was it still another day?
No, that was on Saturday. So there's still one more day.
Yeah, right?
It's 3 days, Next year they're doing four.
Are they?
So next year's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's exciting.
But
and you never know who's going to be on the ticket, right, until...
Yeah, they don't announce like guests, like celebrities and stuff. They usually roll out like... they start revealing stuff kind of like... usually like 4 months in advance, and then they kind of slowly trickle more and more each month. They reveal stuff. So
yeah,
it's kind of a surprise, but Saturday was sold out.
Oh, it was,
I think they said they sold out for that one.
That's super exciting. Go ahead though.
I was gonna say, I think Fan Expo Denver, I think is the fourth biggest in the country.
Oh yeah, I bet.
I think it's the fourth. I think Salt Lake City is third. San Diego's Comic-Con's obviously number one.
I went to that in 2010.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's my next big goal there is one day San Diego Comic-Con. So
I didn't know what to expect.
That's on the list. So.
San Diego's a big one.
Yeah, that's massive. So I
what's
can't imagine.
Two?
I think two is New York.
Number
two is New York, and then three is Salt Lake City.
Not Chicago, huh?
It might be Chicago. Chicago, New York. I'd have
and
to look
four,
it up.
Four is,
four is Denver.
That's
come on, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go Mile High City.
Yeah,
let you guys know about
and
that out there.
It's getting bigger every year, and next year they're doing 4 days. So yeah, man.
It's growing.
There's a lot of nerds here.
Yeah.
There is a lot of nerds here, and that's great. It's fun. You know, it's a good opportunity for folks to come out and share similar interests and explore new interests and stuff like that. I mean, again, when I went in 2010, I was out in San Diego for my 21st birthday, basically, and I didn't know what the hell I was getting into, but the Ghostbusters guys were there, the Ghostbuster car was there, and I was like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what to expect, because I didn't even know what Comic-Con was then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because, as you know, I'm not a big comic book guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not Marvel, DC, like, it's not my universe, but I still can appreciate the excitement and the environment. Oh, yeah. And just how, because everyone gets so into it.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, and people love to get, like, the compliments. The person I went with loves to give enthusiastic compliments.
Or he was like dressed as Goku, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We love you,
Shween.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our boy. And so, like, yeah, he was giving compliments out, and I love that. Like, oh, that's a cool suit. Like, and everybody was on that vibe. Like, everyone was feeling good like that, just having a great time.
The costumes are crazy, man.
Yeah, and you and your fiance looked great, too.
Yeah, we always.
I didn't even recognize you, man.
Yeah, that's our favorite part, man. It's fun to get involved. And, like, you kind of feel left out if you don't dress up put on a costume. You know?
So I wore, like, a comic book shirt.
Okay, all right.
And, I felt like I had the touch. Yeah. I had the slight touch.
Yeah, next time, go all in, man.
I don't know who I would go as. I feel like I want to go as Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine would be dope,
I feel
man.
Like, you
just
know, just shave like this and grow everything else out, get it going.
Get some claws, you know?
Oh, yeah, dude.
I like it.
You could be, you know, cigar hanging out of your mouth.
Yeah, I'm shorter than Hugh Jackman, so it's like I'm still closer to the comic Wolverine. I'm still too tall to be Wolverine, though.
Yeah, it's so
how tall
much more
is he
fun,
in the
man.
Comics?
I don't know. He's one of the shorter guys.
Yeah.
He's pretty short.
Yeah.
Who is?
Wolverine.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's, like, jacked for the movies. So
yeah, he's like 6'4 or something. Yeah. He's too tall for Wolverine.
He's big. Yeah, because Wolverine was always, he was always, like, kind of hunched over, too, so it was hard to tell his size in the comics.
Who should I go as?
I think you would make, like, a good Gambit.
You think?
Gambit would be dope. Yeah, I can see Gambit.
Yeah, who else? Oh, yeah. Or Constantine.
Constantine Ooh. Would be good. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, suit.
Yeah, but who's your favorite?
Yeah,
you could go as John Wick. Like, who would you want to be?
I mean, you know, look.
You could be whoever you want.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be comics. It's like movies. You know, it's all pop culture. Yeah. So,
well, I think you already know the answer. I would go as
Terminator?
The T-100, Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah,
Judgment
dude. There you go.
100%.
Police, jacket, with the police outfit?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Get like a part that's like hat, like it looks like you like have the metal skin or something.
Yeah, get the eye.
Yeah, that'd be
sick.
That'd
be fun, man. I'd get into that, I think.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Do a little
cosplay. You could have like a saber, like, you know, when his hands turn into blades, you could.
Oh, like the T-1000. Yeah, yeah. Robert Patrick, T-1000.
I can't believe the amount of airsoft guns that were in there. Like, I feel
it's
like
crazy.
Like, is there metal detectors? Like, are there.
Like, they do like checks. They have to have like, they're called, what are they called? Prop checks.
Yeah,
you have to go
make
through
sure
the table.
No, like,
yeah, and they have security. There's like police officers and stuff, so they're pretty good. And you go through metal. I'm pretty sure you go through metal detectors.
Well, because you know, as long as there's no like air compressor thing in there, like the cartridge, and then no like ammo, then.
Well, I think
but
a lot of them aren't
that,
even.
Right?
I don't. I think a lot of them aren't even airsoft guns now.
Really?
They're just straight like cosplay props that
that
you can order online that don't even. They're not even designed to shoot it. Trigger probably doesn't even move. It's probably all just
a paperweight.
Yeah, I think a lot of those, and I think there is a rule with certain stuff. Like you can't. I don't think you can bring an airsoft gun in if you try to bring that in. It's got to be like a prop. Or something. If it's got moving mechanisms and
no
it has the ability to, I'm pretty sure they can't. They have a pretty strict guideline with.
What about like an epic lightsaber? Can you bring that?
Oh yeah, you can bring lightsabers. Yeah.
I saw
the wall of lightsabers they were selling was epic.
Oh, they were selling them.
Oh yeah,
were they the like? Because I saw a video.
They're like the legit ones.
Oh, like they respond to movement and shit.
Yeah, real heavy, and you know you can hit them on stuff. I don't know what they're made out of, but. They're legit. The handles, I mean, you can even buy like different handles and different attachments. Like, they're cool. Like,
people get into it.
And they're like expensive, too.
All right. Well, what color blade would yours be? What saber blade?
Blue.
I'd go blue.
Two blue?
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be.
Maybe silver.
See, now I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like silver's an option, I'll take silver.
No, silver,
yeah,
there's like
my favorite color, so I think blue, but then I think blue's kind of generic because it's just all the Jedi.
Well, I mean, honestly,
I like the Sith more, so.
You're more in the Sith
realm,
So maybe you go with like a purple or like a.
Yeah.
I mean.
Maybe like an orange.
Orange, okay. I think I like the gray, like the white sabers, like
those are cool.
Like Ahsoka Tano, like the gray Jedi, where they're like in between Sith and being a Jedi and stuff.
That'd be cool.
You know, I kind of feel
good
that
color. Yeah, I was saying silver, so silver, gray, chrome, somewhere in that realm.
Yeah,
that'd look pretty cool, I think.
So love the Zodiac Wars, everybody. Check out Zodiac Wars. We're gonna, you know, obviously have all your links and stuff.
Sure.
But you've been up to a lot of other really, really cool stuff as well, man.
Yeah,
you've been on this like passport journey to national parks, and you've been getting like stamps and in this national park passport.
Yeah.
And. It was you've been up to it, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Traveling is like me and my lady. It's our favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we love hiking and we love the outdoors. And one of our goals was, you know, we started kind of, when we first met like 10 years ago now, almost coming up on, we just started getting into hiking and we fell in love with it and started doing camping and going to these national parks. And we went to the first national park, Zion in Utah.
Okay.
And it was just awesome, man. We fell in love with it, did some of the best hiking ever. And then we just said, you know, we were like, we're both very curious people. We're both, you know, love to explore. So we love traveling around. And we said, let's try to make it a goal to see all the national parks in our lifetime. And so that's, you can get that national park passport book from any national park. And yeah, every year we try to do new ones and take road trips to new states and do epic hikes, man. It's a blast, and get the stamp. And we're at 13 now out of 63 national parks. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's fun, man. And that's our favorite thing to do is for pastime is hiking, traveling. And now we're starting to do international travel too. We did Peru for the first, out of the country travel last year, which was a blast. Since now we're getting addicted to that. So
nice.
What's next? Yeah. Where are you going next out of country?
Thailand.
Ooh.
Thailand's okay. Next, so. Okay.
Yep.
That'll be a fun place to visit.
Clint's been to Thailand.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Clint's
been
a lot of places.
Yeah,
he has. Isn't he in military?
Ex-military.
Yeah, post.
Is that why he got to travel a lot?
Yeah, he was doing, like, things that I can't disclose on the podcast.
Yeah. That's crazy.
What a solid lad, though, Clint. He does a lot for this program, too, behind the scenes.
Oh, does he? Really?
Yeah. Cool, thank you, Clint. I know you're tuning in. And
Clint. What's up, Clint?
He was excited that you were coming on, man.
Great to see him, man.
He was super excited, dude. Yeah,
we should do, like, a whole... He's got a family or something.
Yeah, he's doing really good, man.
Cool.
We should do, like, a whole, like, fucking...
Yeah.
Like...
Reminiscing.
Yeah, let's all meet up sometime and fucking get it in.
Dude,
man.
I'm down.
Mm-hmm. You said Will Thiessen as well, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he a part of the original crew?
Yeah, yeah. You still talk to Will?
I met Will a time or
from
two.
From time to time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we still stay in touch.
That's good, man.
He still
man.
Has the same number.
No way.
Yeah, same number, man.
That's crazy. Cool, man. Yeah.
Good guy.
So I do also love getting out, exploring. Out of the 13 that you've been to so far, what's your top two? Like, you could have two.
I would
top.
Say Zion's number one. Yeah. Zion's awesome. It's just that Zion has two of the most unique hikes. It's got the Angel's Landing hike, which it goes up on this big rock that kind of overlooks the canyon. I don't know if you've seen it. You might have seen it. But when you're going up, you get to a point where the ridge line kind of narrows down, and it's these maybe – you know, a gap this big, and it goes up and you're hanging on to chains. They put these chains in, and it's just these giant drop offs on both sides. And then you get up to this plateau that's like in the middle of the canyon. And then they have another hike there called the Narrows, which is a slot canyon, and you walk through the water. You actually walk into a river the entire time, and you can walk, 15 miles back into these canyons. And it just, every turn you come, it's these walls of, you know, that are just beautiful, and you're walking through the water. So it's pretty epic. So Zion, I would say, is my number one. And then out of the other ones I went to, I would say right now number two is Glacier, which I just visited on this summer trip, which was, two weeks ago in Montana.
I've heard it's gorgeous.
It's amazing. That one's cool. And all the hikes are, like, you know, at the top of peaks, and there's just, like, cascading mountains and blue lakes everywhere. It's epic. So those are probably my, I'd say, top two. But
what about here in Colorado?
I would love that.
There's four in Colorado. You got Rocky Mountain National Park, Sand Dunes National Park.
Alamosa.
In Alamosa. And then you got Mesa Verde and what are the one? Oh, Black Canyon of the Gunnison.
Okay.
And I've been to all of those, but I haven't counted Mesa Verde because me and my lady haven't been there together. So we're doing the national parks together. So we're at 13.
Tag team.
Yeah. Okay. But Colorado, not Rocky Mountain National Parks.
Pretty epic.
It's awesome, yeah. You can't go wrong there.
Yeah, it's pretty epic. Now, are you going to start working? Because 13 out of 60, how many?
63.
Wow. Yep. That's the lower 48?
No, Alaska's included in there.
Alaska's included.
Yeah, and Hawaii. I think Hawaii has one. Alaska has a lot. I think Alaska has four or five national parks.
Okay.
I've been to one, so.
I'd like to get up there, man. Alaska looks nice.
It's cool. Yeah, we took a trip out there in 2020. COVID year, and it was cool.
I bet.
So
did you go what time of year did you go?
Fall, in October.
Was that the good time, like the right time to go?
It was amazing. It's kind of, you're kind of missing the tourist season. It's right at the end of the tourist season, but you get the fall colors.
So it's probably better though.
Like, quiet down in town, but a lot of stuff is closed. Some of the excursions and things like that start to close down. Like a lot of stuff in Alaska, if you're trying to do, you know, you got to go far distances, and a lot of that's by like plane or boat.
It becomes winter for like, I mean, it becomes dark for a long time during the winter, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like it's like 18 hours of darkness a day or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know exactly.
Yeah. I know it's a long nights.
I don't know if I could deal with that.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't enjoy it that much, but I've heard it's just so gorgeous up there. The fishing looks good.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to go do, is go do some Alaskan, you know, salmon fishing.
Right.
You need to go do some fishing this year. You've been talking fishing like a madman.
I need to do fishing, man.
Get out there, man.
He's always talking fishing for like the last 2 months.
I love fishing. The problem is here on the Front Range, the fishing's not good.
Yeah.
You really got to start. Sure. You know, St. Mary's Glacier, we caught some cutthroat trout. You start to get out towards Gunnison, what's that town out there on the western slope, just south of Grand Junction? You know, out there the fishing's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you start to get into your largemouth bass. You start to get into some more opportunities, but it's hard to fish here on the Front Range.
Yeah.
There's just not much of it.
Yeah. It kind of feels like it's overcrowded too.
That too.
A lot of the lakes, especially the city lakes and stuff, you know, Chatfield and stuff that's in the metro area, like it just seems like a lot of it's getting fished out.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just seems like you're always just catching stalker. I mean, at least every time I go, I'm just catching stalker fish. And
there's a lot of that.
So.
There's a lot of that. We actually did an article on Happy Friday last week about how the fish and wildlife here in Colorado are killing off some of the existing.
I listened to that one.
Oh, did you
guys? Yeah. And they were, was it brook or cutthroat trout?
It was cutthroat trout. Yeah. So they're kind of killing off some of the old, and then they want to restock it with the new, which I guess is a healthy way to do it. You know, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of that goes on in some of those, you know, man-made lakes and ponds, if you will, reservoirs.
Yeah, there's some good fishing down south. I like the southwest, like kind of Walsenburg area. What's that?
Walsenburg.
Lathrop State Park. That's a good one. They got tiger muskie there. And
oh, really?
All species, bass and walleye and stuff. That's a good spot.
Yeah, and that's only about an hour and a half, 2 hours away.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad.
It's not a bad little
lake drive. Yeah. I mean, anything under 3 hours, honestly, is like, all right. You know, you start getting over the 3 hours, like even drive to like a camping spot is kind of tough. Unless if you're like out doing what you're doing, where you're like really trying to go to these parks and like you're in it for the journey, and that sort of stuff. I would love to do that. And same with that. Like I was teetering on the thought before I got my apartment in October. I was like, should I just invest in getting like a mobile van and just pay for a hotspot and do my job and just disappear and work everywhere?
Yeah.
Like I thought about that heavily for a while.
That's
and
what
I think
we
it's
did.
Cool that you did that.
Yeah. Me and my lady, we did that for it's like 3 years, but we bought this big old 1995 Coachman.
Okay.
It was huge. It's like 30, we still have it. It's like 35 foot big, but at the time we had two cats and we wanted to do that. We were like, you know, let's just sell everything. We lived in an apartment. We sold like every single thing. We went down to, you know, the bare bones and got in this RV and we just moved into it full time and we were traveling all over the place and we were doing, what's called work camping, where you can, it's for people who live in RVs or vans or whatever, and you just go around the country and you apply to campgrounds and you become like campground host or a campground maintenance or campground stuff like that, and then you get paid, you know, they're all different, but you get paid hourly wage. A lot of them give you free hookups so you're not paying any rent, and you you know, you make a living just doing that, and that was fun. We went all over the place for that and ended up in like the redwoods of California, like working on campground for like 6 months.
Oh, that's awesome!
That sounds fun.
Freaking sweet.
That does sound awesome.
Very limited internet, you know. It's like very minimalist.
Isolated.
Yeah, it was cool.
That is pretty cool. So you guys were like the campground hosts, like the
Not at that one. That one was more like a resort. So they had a bunch of different. They had like four different work camping couples, and then like we all kind of did different things. Jen and I were the we were the housekeeping crew, and then I did maintenance too. So they had like cabins, so every morning we'd go and clean out the cabins and make the sheets, you know, do all that stuff.
Gotcha.
And then during the day she would do like laundry and I would do like maintenance around the park, and they would have us do kind of different things, but majority of the time we were just housekeeping, which is really cool, man. That was one of the most epic summers we've ever had. It was awesome.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. Like that's kind of like a dream job of mine. Like I would love to be park ranger raw and just like out there on the land,
I can see it, man.
Having a simple life, bro, just like out there isolated.
It's fun.
And just, I would love to do that for like the end of my life.
Yeah,
like at the end of my life, I'm like, all right, it's time to become a ranger.
Yeah.
Put the hat
like,
on.
Yeah. This is where I'm going to die is in this national park.
Yeah. We want to do it again. We got out of it. It was like, you know, our RV was so old and it was breaking down all the time.
Yeah.
You know, every time something gets fixed.
It?
Yeah. We still have it. It's sitting in a lot up in Greeley needs a lot of repairs and stuff. And so we're going to try to sell it. And we're talking about, you know, down the road when we could get something more reliable, thinking about doing something like that again. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, that was fun. It's a fun couple years. So
yeah, that's epic. Not a lot of people are going to take that kind of risk.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And be like, all right, let's sell everything. Let's go out there and explore and find a way to make money. Because you're basically kind of going on the whim of the universe. Right. Like, how are we going to make money together? And, like, how are we going to pay for food? And, like, make it happen. Yeah. So there is a way, though.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways. I mean, everyone's doing something different now. And, you know, like I said, we were doing the work camping. But when we first got into it, we went down to Tucson, Arizona. It was in the middle of winter, and we tried to get as far south as we could. Mm-hmm. And we quit our jobs. We had no jobs going down there, and we didn't know what to expect. But we were both graduating from college. We both were artists, and we were going to go down there and start our art, you know, careers. And this is way before I was doing the comic book and mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know, we went down there and we were selling artwork like on street corners. We were just printing off artwork and going to like the corner of, you know, we'd go outside of like the Tucson Gem Show. It was a big gem festival. And we'd go on the corner and set up a little table and sell artwork there on the street and stuff. And eventually it caught up to us. And that's how we got into the work camping thing, because we were like, well, we need to have some more money and stuff. And so we got into that. But yeah, we just kind of went for it. And I mean, you know,
full send.
It was fun.
Yeah, full send, man. You're like, let's go to Tucson and start selling some art.
Yeah, you learn a lot, so it was cool.
Now, do you two like collab? You said that she does art as well.
What she's an artist too. So her name's Jennifer, and she does more like fine art stuff. So I do digital comics. She does acrylic paintings, and she does a lot of. Her work's awesome, and she does like. It's kind of whimsically. There's like a lot of animals and landscapes, magic, I would describe it as, like some psychedelic-y kind of stuff. There's a lot of like mushrooms and really cool stuff, but she's really talented. And so she does art festivals, you know, kind of the more fine art fests that are like in the summer. You set up a 10x10 booth, and she's got one this weekend coming up in Evergreen. So
that's going to be fun.
Well, Evergreen has an art festival?
Yeah, they got a big one. It's called Evergreen Summerfest. They do it every year, end of July. And it's good. It's cool. They have like live music, beer, food trucks, and
it's cool.
Tons of artists. Yeah, it's really good. So that one's coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday.
Nice. Oh, that's going
to
be fun.
That sounds like something fun we could put in Happy Friday tomorrow to do this weekend.
Yeah,
it's good. And so I don't know how long it's been running, but it's their big one, so.
I know that the cinnamon rolls up at that coffee shop up there.
Oh, I've never had them.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You ever been to that bar, that Cactus Jack right there?
No.
It's on the river. It's got like the little, the water turbine powers.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I've seen it, but I fished there a couple times.
Did you?
Evergreen, so.
It's a pretty town, for sure. Bad. That's cool, man. You know, art definitely goes a long way.
Thank you.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the fine arts. That's cool, though. So you're doing a little digital. She's a little more fine. Does she ever do, like flow paintings? You ever heard of that?
No. What is that? Flow painting?
Yeah. So my ex got into that, and she taught me a little bit about it. It's like where you know, basically take, like, a canvas and you know, kind of like how Bob Ross used to do. You know, you cover it with a liquid white.
Right.
And then, you know, you dump your paints on it, and then you move it around.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's, like, kind of flowing, like, and people use, like, hair dryers and stuff to move the paint around.
Or they swing buckets and
stuff like that. Yeah.
Like, different versions of that.
Yeah. I messed with that for a little bit. It was kind of fun. I'm not really artistically inclined. I'm not real good at it. It's just not my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. And I like trying. I'll at least, you know, give it a go.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, it's fun. I mean, and if you can't, like, you appreciating it. You
absolutely.
Know, it's like, you know, you don't have to be an artist to appreciate art. So, yeah.
That's a good point.
One thing I don't understand is that small percentage of people out there that they say that they don't like music. They're like, I don't listen to music. I don't like music.
They're lying.
I feel like I've only met two people.
Small percentage.
Like two people in my whole entire life. They're like, yeah, I don't listen to music. I'm like,
they're full of it.
Yeah.
You can't get through life without. I mean, maybe you gotta not in music. our culture. I mean,
what do you do? Like, how do you not? Do you guys think these people are just lying, pulling my leg?
I think they are.
I think they're probably just looking for reaction. Maybe
they. Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, in maybe, like, in, you know, first world country, but even they have music. They're playing festivals and drums, mm-hmm. and you know, there's music everywhere. People are singing. Like,
it's been a part of human interactions for eons.
Right.
Right. Banging on rocks and
yeah, just, they're full of it.
Yeah, they must be full of it. I am full of it for like accepting that. Like, I was like, oh really? You don't like music?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's some weirdos like out music. There. You know.
I have no idea. That's an odd one for sure.
I think the only story I've ever heard is somebody said they don't like listening to music while they drive.
Huh.
But it doesn't necessarily mean they don't like music.
I mean, sometimes I zone out and you're not, I mean, you know, you can get in the zone. I can see that.
Maybe. I like listening. I think that's one of my favorite places to listen to tunes is while I'm cruising down 25.
Yep.
You know, or like a country back road going through the mountains and you got some song on that you're in the zone.
Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite.
That's a good
out
moment
in the mountains
right there.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is always that good quiet drive though too.
Yeah.
Like that.
Where you get the windows down and
you kind of just appreciate it.
Just in the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, for everyone listening, why don't you go ahead and leave a comment? What do you like to do? Do you like to drive with no music? Do you like to drive with music? Let us know.
Yeah.
Or if you don't like music.
Yeah, if you're one of that 2% of people that's trying to pull my leg out there, go ahead and identify yourself. I mean, come on, man. So, freaking, I got to say, the shirt is fresh.
Yeah, man, thank you, dude.
Some tattoos there. How many tats do you got?
I've got three. So I got the imp. This is the demon, the imp. And
okay.
This is the tribal dragon, and then I do have the chest too, which is a bit unfinished.
The chest one is big though.
Yeah, this one's big. It's a crow and like a grim reaper. And okay. This one's been unfinished for like over 10 years now.
Yeah.
I got the line work done and never got it shaded in. So
still pending final results.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay.
But that's all I got, three of them. So.
I kind of like how it like peeks out when you're wearing like the...
Yeah, if I got like a tank top on, you stuff. Can see it. So I like it. The chest tattoo was cool. But yeah, I got all these when I was kind of younger. You know, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into them. I went into tattoo shops and picked shit off the wall and was like, yeah, give me that. That looks cool. And so, but I like them. They're cool, you know.
They're a part of you.
Yeah. So.
You kind of forget that you even have them. Like, even when you look at yourself naked, you're like, you don't really pay attention
to it and stuff. And
I have 5 fat tattoos, and until someone's like, oh, what's that? Or what does that mean? Or why'd you get that? I'm like, I forgot you even have them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? I was just going for aesthetics. I was like, yeah, I don't care about the meaning. I just want something that looks badass. Cool. You know?
Yeah. And that's where most folks start when they come into the tattoo. I mean, although you did have, like, your first tat was pretty meaningful.
Yeah, I did the mic over my chest with an MC underneath it for Master Ceremony. Okay. And that was like, you know, 18 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And then I recently got like 3 more, like within the last year. So I'm kind of like re-engaged in the tattoo world. So I got
you haven't shown the world these
yet. I got the interior of the Colorado flag. And I've been wanting this one for like a really long
time.
Oh, cool,
yeah. Get that filled in?
Yeah, no, it's going to just stay like that.
Stay like that? Oh, yeah, some mountains look good behind that.
It would, but I just like how it's simple and pokes out. Yeah. Like, it's nothing crazy. And I got my last name.
Sick.
Behind the
ear. Raw. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's pretty cool.
And it kind of just looks like a line from a distance, so it's not really legible. And then I got a King Arthur's sword, Excalibur.
Sick, dude.
Because I feel like a warrior. And then,
hell yeah.
I think that's it. I got the 4.
Dope.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah. What about you? You got how many?
So my favorite one, which I've showed many times on this program, is Beyond Blood.
What's that?
So Beyond Blood basically represents the Brotherhood. You know, all my blood brothers, non-blood brothers, we're all Beyond Blood, you know, so it kind of represents that bond, that trust, you know, once you're in, there's no getting out kind of thing. Art's maybe going to get it. We still don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Cool, man.
I got Ford tattooed on my right arm because I'm kind of a redneck. I got the American Mudflap Girl over here because I'm kind of a redneck. And then I got my parents' initials on my collarbone.
Sweet, man. So, dig it.
Yeah. Yeah, so what was the meaning behind yours? You said that you just slapped them on. Have you created, after over time, you created a
not
meaning?
Not really. I just kind of, like, the tribal dragon was the first one. I was, like, fresh 18. Uh-huh. And I was like, I just want a tattoo. And, yeah, I went into the shop, and I was like, what should I get? And I almost made the mistake. I was going to get Chavez across my back shoulders in like old English.
That's pretty badass.
For some reason, I thought it was good. It sounded badass, but I'm glad I didn't get that.
Really?
I think I would have regretted that.
Really?
One.
I've thought about doing that with my last name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he does want to do it.
So, baseball style, like jersey style.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I picked the dragon. I saw it on the wall, and I was like, I want that. That looks cool. Put it on my arm, and they put it on, and I thought it was cool. And I think a year later, I did the imp. This one I didn't pick off a wall. This was like an image I found online. I was like, oh, I want something to complement the dragon. And, you know, I've always been kind of a nerd, so I was like into demons and dragons and fantasy stuff, you know. So got a demon, and then yeah, and then this one was another one. There was an artist. Actually, this guy was on Ink Masters.
Really?
Years later, like years after I got this. His name's Jake Parson.
Okay.
And I think he's still here in Denver, but I picked this off his wall from his portfolio.
Yeah.
I was like, that was cool. That would make a great chess piece. And so I picked that. I never got it filled in, and then I found out like years later he was on Ink Masters or something. Oh, wow. So
the same guy that did that was on Ink Masters?
Yeah, yep. And this was way before Ink Masters even existed, but he ended up being on one of the regional battle seasons or something. Pretty cool. Like that. I don't know what season it was, but
that's fun.
Yeah.
So like your work that you allowed him the canvas of your chest.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that got him better. And if it wasn't for you, he wouldn't have made Ink Masters if it wasn't for that extra work he did.
Right. And he represented Colorado, I think, in that season because it was like a regional battle set, like a Midwest and a mountain region, and he was coming out of Denver. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I never saw that. I mean, I saw the program, but I never watched it.
Yeah.
You know, to like keep track of who's doing what, who's coming out of where. But
yeah, it was cool.
Cool idea.
So
it's fun. Tattoos are fun.
Yeah.
There's like this fucking subreddit called like shitty tattoos.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I feel bad for some of these people. It's like, why?
Yeah. Like, where? Question it. You're like,
why would you put that on you?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like sometimes you got to think things through a little bit more. And because I hear it like tattoo removal is like worse than actually getting a tat.
Right. I think like some people just like to be silly sometimes. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Get reactions.
Really know. Yeah. So, you know, but some people make bad choices.
Oh, yeah.
I heard an interview with Jelly Roll, who's like one of the biggest artists up and coming right now in the country. And he talked about how he regrets like 95% of his tattoos.
Really?
Yeah, because he's got like all these face tats and all this stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, now that he's like a public figure or whatever, mm-hmm. he's like, man, I look like an idiot.
Yeah,
so he says that about his own shit?
Yeah, he doesn't like it, man.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's risky.
He's not a fan. So, you know, that's why I think when I decided to do tats, I was like, as long as I can cover him with like a polo or a t-shirt. Right.
Yeah,
that's kind of okay. What I went, and I was like, "Yeah, no forehead, no face."
Yeah, this behind the ear like is subtle enough, right? Because I wanted it so like my earlobe would cover it, so from the front you can't see. You can only see it from like little areas.
Yeah,
because I'm not big on like the neck tats like all over here, or you know the face tats and like how people like put little hearts. Like, and that's fine. Like, if that's your thing and, like, it makes you feel cooler, like, cute or whatever, like, and you're more confident, then go for it. You know, I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't do that to myself, you know.
They're more acceptable now, too. Mm-hmm. I think when 18, when I got these, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you're only crazy people tattooed, you know, their knuckles or their face or mm-hmm. stuff. And now it's kind of becoming more common, I think, you know, you see more neck tattoos and.
It's pretty common.
So
you see a lot of people linked up. Well, I think at the time too, people looked at it like from a professional point of view. Like,
yeah, you're never gonna get a job like that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, they're gonna discriminate this and that. Now you see folks in CEO roles and senior managers and this and that, and they're all linked up. So I think a lot of that like is kind of behind us now as far as that appearance. But at the same time, if you're spewing like hate messages and certain things on your body, that probably would play in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, none of that.
No,
it is interesting to see how the working world is changing as generations get older.
Yeah.
And like, look, we're already like almost midlife right here, you know, mid-30s and shit.
Coming up on 40.
So it's like, these are the prime years. And so, it's like people like us that are starting to become like hiring managers and hiring younger people. And it's just interesting to kind of see the changes over time, man.
Definitely.
So Zodiac Wars, you got the day job, so do we.
Yeah.
Like we're getting closer to doing this full time. Man.
That's the dream.
You know, but you gotta fuel the passion. So
it's a grind.
So issue two. I should have bought one of the signed copies when I was there.
Oh, that's okay. I got one for you. So
no, you didn't.
I got you one, yeah.
Okay.
I brought one in for you, so.
Oh shit. Okay. I didn't mean to spoil.
It's gonna be a gift for you, so.
Oh shit. Yeah, I wanna read it, check it out.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool, man. Issue number two is almost done. I'm going to be doing like the Kickstarter approach for issue mm-hmm. number two. I don't know if you're familiar with Kickstarter, mm-hmm. but you know, a lot of indie comics are on there, indie projects stuff. And so I'm going to try to do that route. So issue number one, I kind of just released and I've been selling at conventions, mm-hmm. but for issue number two, we'll be going Kickstarter route. So we'll be diving into that and see how that goes. So
hell yeah. We're going to promote the hell out of all that shit.
Sweet, man.
We always ask people one question though. If you could give one piece of advice to humanity so everybody could be better tomorrow. Like, let's say everybody heard it. What would that one piece of advice be?
Man, it's going to sound cheesy. I would just say, just follow your heart and, you know, do whatever makes you feel good. As long as it's, you know, helping other people and not hurting people. But just follow your heart, man. If you're following your heart and doing something you like, you're a happier person. That just makes you happier, nicer to other people. And, you know, just be kind. It's pretty mm-hmm. simple. I don't think there's not anything complicated about it, you know, so.
Well, it can get a little tough, and I agree with that advice for sure. But it's like, how do you know, like, to follow your heart? Like, cause the heart, like, pulls us in these different directions.
True. Sometimes. That's true. Sometimes you can get confused. I will admit, you know, I had a lot of different paths. It took me a long time to figure out what mm-hmm. I wanted to do. So I'd say, I guess I wouldn't say follow your heart. Like, I would say, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess like when you just know, like, something's wrong, like, what mm-hmm. what do you call that? When you know, like, something's
intuition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just find your intuition. Like, if it's good, you know, don't be doing shitty stuff, you know? I don't know.
I think that's solid advice. Cause you know, it kind of piggybacks off, you know, do what makes you happy.
Yeah. And I think intuition. Yeah. It kind of leads you towards your heart. I think, sure. You know, you'll discover
listen to the intuition, because there's been plenty of times where, like, I was about to do some shit that intuitively I knew was a really stupid fucking idea, and I did it anyway, and it wasn't good in the long run. Yeah,
because your intuition's good. Like, this is not the right move.
Yeah, and I didn't listen to it. Yeah. I, like, was ignoring what I knew was right and wrong.
Or vice
yeah.
versa. Like, it can work mm-hmm. in other things, like maybe taking a risk, moving to a new state, talking to, like, asking that girl for a number. Your mind's going to talk you out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? You got the 3 to 5 second rule, which we've talked about a lot. Right? Your intuition's like, do it. Then your mind's like, well, there's some ramifications here. You got a full send, own it.
Yeah. I think that's good. I don't know. That's what I would say. I don't know.
No, I like it.
What would you say? What do you think?
Oh, I don't. You're turning it around on us like that? Yeah. Okay. I think that's a DCPC first.
That actually is, yeah.
I think so. Kev, you got one?
For advice for humanity?
Yeah, what would your advice be?
I mean, I think it's going to piggyback what I've said for the last 4.5 years, mm-hmm. and that's to own it. You know, full send, own it. You know, own who you are. Own what you want to do. Treat the people around you with respect and care. Surround yourself with the right people. Put yourself in the scenarios to give yourself opportunities for success.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I do like the follow your intuition and, like, you know, your heart and stuff like that. Today was a meaningful day for me on, like, a health journey that I've been on. So one of the biggest lessons I've learned from that is when things get hard, that's when you got to buckle in. And, like, really push harder. When you want to quit, it's, like, right around the corner. And that's going to be my advice, is, like, hey, if you feel like you want to stop, you want to quit. Like, even, like, I'm sure you've had moments with, like, you're drawing and you're like, what's the fucking point?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, what's the purpose?
Sleepless nights, thinking about it, overthinking.
Oh, yeah, been there.
Yeah, and, like, when you're struggling with that stuff and you're like, why am I doing this?
Right.
You know, that's when you sometimes need to just stay in it.
Yeah.
It's tough. Sometimes it's tough, though, to, like, break through your own complacency.
Yeah, mental game and stuff.
Got to go all the way.
It's hard, yeah.
Got to go all the way. Mm. There's no greater feeling than that.
Yeah.
You know, really committing to it.
I like it.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. So, shit, it's so good to catch up with you. This is not... We're going to keep talking.
Yeah, right,
I got your cell dialed. You got my cell.
Yeah, man.
We're going to stay in touch.
Yeah, right. Definitely, man. We'll
reconnect here.
Hang out more. Get back together. Play some Halo.
I was going to say, I think what needs to happen amongst our crew here, you know, and I'll just kind of hang out and drink beer in the background, but with you know, Will and Clint and all these guys.
Yeah, get, man. Get an old school game night together. I would love to see
him,
man.
Uh-huh.
That'd be fun.
Like, throwback.
I'd love to see those guys, man. That'd be cool.
It's totally tangible. I think this needs to happen. Clint's listening. You know he's going to be excited.
Yeah,
we can hook up the GameCube right here and play some Melee in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Fucking, we got a crew that plays, and I'm curious to see, because I still play.
Melee?
Well, the newest one. It's like Melee.
Yeah.
It's like the same shit.
Yeah, I played it. I don't play it as much, but
I
kind of stopped at Melee. Melee was the...
Was that the GameCube?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So you didn't even go Wii?
Well, I played a little bit of them, but yeah. I didn't get hardcore into them mm-hmm. like we did for Melee. Man, we were Melee nuts.
Oh yeah, we had all the calluses on our fingers and shit. Like, we were playing hard.
Yeah, it was
I'd like
good.
To see the Smash Bros. Battle here.
Yeah.
Go down, get Schween involved.
You love just watching the Smash
fan,
Bros. Battles
because as
They're
folks
fun,
know,
man.
I'm a racing guy. If anyone wants to do racing games, I am in. I will have fun with it. Let's go. That's what I do.
What's the best race? Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo. I play a lot of Gran Turismo 7, Gran Turismo Sport, NASCAR, you know, because I'm a PlayStation guy, so I don't have the Forzas and some of that stuff. But, man, there's some good racing games on the market right now.
Cool, man. Yeah. I'm PlayStation, but I'm more good RPG games, you know. I don't, Diablo 4.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Elden Ring, those kind of games, so...
Nice.
Elden Ring, it just makes me pee my pants too much.
Yeah, that game's the
it's,
shit.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
It's so hard.
It's like a tough game. Like, it and it's like there's no difficulty levels. It's like one skill level, and you just have to memorize movements. Yeah,
it's hard, man.
It is tough.
Patience, for sure.
I was telling Art before we did the show that I'm not going to go PS5 until I hear the release date for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah.
I'm not a big enough gamer. I'm PS4, to go next
gen. I'm the same way.
You know? Mm.
I play casually, so games will last me for an eternity, you know.
Yeah. I don't even finish games anymore.
Yeah, pick one up and it lasts me for, you know, months. And
That's kind of how I am. I mean, the last, like, true game that I got into the storyline was, like, Red Dead Redemption that I got really, really hooked into. Outside of that, man, I'm a sports game and racing guy.
Yeah.
You know, burn and turn, play a hockey game, play a football game, race.
Yeah.
You know, something that's just you can consistently do over and over again and remain competitive. That's what I like to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some versus games, fighting games. I got really into fighting games for a while, and those are fun, but it's hard to keep up, man. Like, you know, you try to play competitively now, and kids are just wrecking you, and I'm way behind.
It's humbling. It's humbling.
It is, yeah.
Getting your ass handed to you, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's a humbling moment.
Oh, I always feel good when I get my ass reamed in a racing game by some guy online. He serves it up. I'm like, okay, I'm not the best.
Yeah.
I'm humbled.
Well, hell yeah, man. Great catching up with you. We're going to tag every. We're going to put all in the show notes, but where can people check you out?
Yeah, so the best place is my website. It's the ZodiacWarsComic.com. You can Instagram the_Zodiac_Wars, and you can just Facebook Zodiac Wars. So that's best spot, man. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff, brother. We'll include all that in the show notes down below. So for the viewers and listeners, just scroll down and get in touch with Jordan there. And you know, we're all about having repeat guests, man. So maybe after next year's Fan Expo, we'll have you back on for another visit.
Man. Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of see where this
can you hook up tickets?
Moving.
I can't.
No, unfortunately. It was worth asking. Yeah. It was worth
asking. I get one extra ticket for a booth partner, and that goes to my lady.
Of course. I'll have to come next year. I didn't go this year.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
I'm going to come down for a visit and check it out for sure.
Yeah,
sounds
man.
Like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and anybody out there, you know, supporting independent creators, you know, it helps us out a lot. So, you know, show some love and helps us keep doing our thing. So,
right on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're happy to support you here at Discussion Combustion. As all time friends, bro, it's so good to see you.
Dude, it's great.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Keep up with challenging yourself. This week's challenge, come up with a unique challenge for yourself, something that you know is tangible and that you can actually accomplish. You know, maybe you just fast for 24 hours. Like, well, I don't care. Do your laundry and fold it immediately. Something that you know you can handle. Challenge yourselves. And always, Jordan is great. Be good to yourselves out there.
You deserve it.
Thanks, guys.